Hey guys, I'm Lizzie Raven.
And I'm Judy Swartz.
And welcome
to Why We Left.
Slay. Good morning. Everybody say it back.
Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning, Lizzie.
That will do. So this morning, again, and I'm very excited about this, again, we have Ben Graber with us. Ben, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Was humbled by some of the feedback we got from the last episode.
People like to hear just honesty and openness right. And vulnerability. And so I think that's why a lot of people found it so beautiful and touching. So, yeah.
And there was a lot of people that were like, we want to hear more from him.
Yeah. So. More Ben Graber, you know.
That's what they were all saying.
They were chanting.
They were chanting in the streets.
It was crazy.
I think of that one old evangelist. He said he got really complimented by the crowd. And he said, shame on you guys for trying to lift me up like that. And he said, and then he says, I'm out. And shame on me for enjoying it so much. But just humility is a big thing. And like, I want to share this in humility. Okay. My prayer through this. Yes.
Well, I think God has put a lot of words in your heart.
And yeah.
I'm glad that you're getting them out.
Yes, it touches me a lot. So, Jody, you have some questions for Ben?
Well, I think Ben had, like, some verses he wanted to start off
yeah.
with.
Yeah, so just a couple opening comments. The one thing I'd like to say is that we are on a journey, and everybody's journey looks different. And, you know, just with the recent election, I know people that voted differently than what I would agree with.
Right.
But one thing I've realized that the Lord has showed me recently that if we want to live in a free country, free land, and this is spiritual too, we also need to give each other freedom. Unless we're going to be a dictator, and most people I know that are in like that controlling, none of them would want to be considered a dictator. And a dictator, right. I don't know what the full, maybe I didn't look that word up, but in my mind.
I can do that quick.
In my mind, dictator is like, I force you how you can think.
Yeah.
So what I would think. That's what I think. When I
or control the way you think.
Okay, this is really funny. I went to type dictator into my search bar and accidentally typed in Anabaptist.
Okay.
Okay.
That's crazy.
One holding complete autocratic control. A person with unlimited governmental power, one ruling in an absolute and often oppressive way.
So I think we can unintentionally have some of those traits and not realize it. And I just think it's pretty simple. I think we need to repent if we find ourselves in that way. My reason again for doing this podcast, I think Psalms 51 explains my heart, and I will try to read this. This is in the New Living, and I think the New Living, if you're a King James only Bible thumping person, you might not like this, but I do believe that the New Living Translation is fairly accurate.
It's my favorite one.
I have not found huge problems, and I'm open. It says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Now, I remind you that this is after David and Bathsheba. This is the whole scandal of all that.
Yeah.
So this is David's heart. And I think, again, is if we as a people, or especially if you're a predator, would have this spirit, this podcast probably wouldn't even be happening.
Right.
But isn't this a need for all of us? Maybe in smaller ways, you know, like whether it's a husband and wife quarrel or a father and daughter disagreement, wash me clean from my guilt. And guilt can do, we're going to talk more about guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. And I want to say back to guilt real quick. We are not designed to carry guilt. We need to repent as soon as we find out we did something wrong, even if it was a small thing. I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. And a beautiful part still coming. Hang on. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say. And your judgment against me is just. So David recognized that the judgment against him was just. Nowhere is he making excuses. Nowhere is he saying it was the other person's fault. He owned it. And he said, your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins. I will be clean. Yes, I will be clean. That's my own words there. In my heart, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Prophet Isaiah's words. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. And this is a song that we sing, creating a clean heart, you know.
Yes, yes.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And David was, he was in the Old Testament. He was kind of a psychopath in some ways. If you read, if you read the Psalms, he was all over the board. And today, if somebody would be like that, we would offer him Zantac and all kinds of drugs. And if David would have been given Zantac and all those things to calm down, we wouldn't have the Psalms. It's amazing. Right. It's amazing. Do not banish me from your presence. He was concerned about it. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He had the Holy Spirit. He not only experienced, but he was going to hang on to it for all his all he was worth. It didn't matter. He wasn't trying to hang on to his reputation here. It's I love this scripture. Do not banish me, he says. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. And man, that is deep. Make me willing to obey you. Are we willing to say that? Because there, that's huge.
I want to say one thing. I was reading that chapter like 2 days ago. And I read it to Keturah, and I didn't really know what it meant, but I just liked the words. Like, the words are comforting to me, so thank you for explaining that.
Then I will teach you your ways to rebels. So he offering to be evangelists here.
Right.
Turn to you, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. And regardless how this finds us in life, I'm one that lives off of hope. You take hope away from me and I'm not good.
Oh, yeah. And I feel that.
And I've already had to ask people that was saying negative things. I'm like, can we not say that word again? Whatever it might be, you know, because we're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. God's grace is sufficient. And I'm his child and he's going to get me through this. And we're not just going to lay down and let the enemy trample us by the grace of God, that is. And so, yeah, that was my opening thoughts, you know. And I just want to say again that we're truly on a journey and that to judge other people's journey, we need to be very careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've been on the judgment side of that, you know, or at least I felt that way. And you know, I've had people say, get over it, you know. And I think I did get over it by the grace of God, but I see it happening to other people. And that's not okay.
Right.
And that's what I'm not going to stand for. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to allow, I'm not going to be silent and allow people to be trampled on. I've done that too long.
Right.
And that's those, you know, I commented last time that I don't have a reputation to protect. So I'm free. You know, I'm free.
Yeah, I love the way you look at that. It's in such a positive light.
Genuinely, like that's one thing I don't understand about the whole protect your reputation thing. Like, and at the end of the day, what other people think about you is not going to matter anyways. Like,
yeah, it feels like it does sometimes.
But yeah, I mean,
at the end of the day, yeah, you're right.
It like doesn't. We're human, so we care about what other people think. But it's not that important when you really think about it. So
it's not. Well, we think of God meeting Jesus face to face one day.
Yeah.
Right.
I think only then will we realize the foolishness of it.
Right.
And he speaks to us through his word. And he tells us over and over that, you know, he says things like, woe unto them that speak good things to just other people to win favor. It gives that idea like we say nice things to each other just so you get me a nice coffee or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been guilty of that.
But let's just not be, if it's sincere, praise the Lord. But if it's not sincere, then let's be sincere.
Right. Honesty above all else, I suppose. Well, I mean, let's just dive right in here. I have some questions that I would love for you to answer, like from a parent's perspective. So unfortunately, I know a lot of girls that have been molested and most of them like either never tell their parents about it or then it's like years after it happened. Why do you think that is?
So, you know, this just popped in my mind, but just this past weekend, we experienced that again.
Really?
Where we had a girl that shared some things that had happened, 10 years ago? 10 or 15 years ago. And I think she will probably listen to this, and hopefully I don't misquote her feelings, but I would say some of her big questions were, you know, and I say this, I'm the dad here, So I think what I heard her say, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but one of her biggest concerns was, is how's dad going to respond? Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
If you're a dad and you hear this, listen up. Her number one concern was, is dad going to believe me? Is he still going to bless my life? Because every child wants the blessing from their dad.
Yeah, for sure.
And I do believe that if we don't get that blessing from our earthly fathers, we do have that blessing from our heavenly father.
Absolutely.
But why do they wait so long? You know, I had a dad maybe a month ago ask me that question. And we had a good conversation. You know, I love having conversations with people that we don't agree on everything. That is okay. What is not okay is if you don't agree, but you don't give me an opportunity to even share my feelings.
Right, yeah.
You know, that is not okay. That feels like dictator. That feels like judgment. That feels like I'm right and you're wrong no matter what you say.
Right.
But this dad was different, and we had a good conversation. Would probably not agree on everything, but we had a lot of alignment. You know, we agreed on a lot of things. But one of his sincere questions was, why do they wait so long to report things? I believe, again, I want to stay consistent with what I said earlier, like we can't blame it on other people. But I believe, me speaking here as a dad, it's our responses that don't want to take action that cause these children not to want to speak,
right,
or not to want to tell us. And it's also, I think, a relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, having a relationship with our children is a full-time job.
Yeah. I believe you.
And I see so many needs. I hear of really sweet things that parents do with their children. I think, oh, I should do that, you know. But hopefully the things I have done, you know, I believe that they have brought results and that I do have a relationship with my children. I would still like to get a better relationship, if that makes sense. There's always more, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that song, There's More. But do we want them to tell someone else? Or what are we saying as a dad when we don't make time or don't believe them or don't listen? And these are just very sobering questions. Who do we want them to tell? And if we want them to tell us, if we want to be first in their life, then we need to be first in their life. And for one thing is we need to believe them. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that I allow to happen with my daughters, the interrogating, and I think that's the right word, maybe a little bit of a strong word, especially if you look it up, if you look up the word interrogate, it's not a friendly thing, but they were interrogated by pastors and by people trying to find out the details.
Wow. That's
if you want to hurt someone, allow that to happen, because the truth matters, but the details don't, if that makes sense.
That's good.
Yeah. The truth does matter. You know, for some predator or some abuser or a sexual molester to try to win any brownie points by saying, oh, I didn't really do the really harsh thing, but I did touch inappropriately, you're not going to win any brownie points with me. Well, I'm talking about like these predators, my nephews, you know, they would try to say it wasn't total sexual intercourse,
okay,
but it was just touching. Or something like that. You know, that's not going to do anything for me.
Yeah, it's not any better.
The sentence, the sickness of that brain still needs the same help.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, I would think even if it's not physical, it's still terrible.
So, and it can even be in everybody loves, you know, from our background, they love the Sermon on the Mount. But it says to look after a woman, to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, let's take those things to heart. We truly believe that, and I know a lot of people do, take that to the fullest extent. We don't need someone. Do we have to wait until someone totally rapes someone to recognize they need help? Or do we believe that verse and say, if you're looking at women, I've been in church settings, and I say this very sadly, but I've been in church settings where I've seen men literally turn in their seat and watch women walk up and down the aisles.
Yeah,
I've experienced
that. Brother, if that's you, you're sick and you need help.
Right.
And I'm not saying you're doomed to hell, but you do need help. How do you think your wife feels when she sees that?
Right.
I've seen that happen way too much. There is no way, nobody can convince me that we as men can always be worried about how the woman is dressed and have a pure mind at the same time.
Yeah.
There is no way.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah.
But, you know, whose children, like, if we're to be protectors of our children, ultimately we want them to be right with God. Us as earthly fathers are a picture of our heavenly Father to that child. And as I share this, I feel the weight. You know, that is with Jesus, all things are possible. So that's what I trust in that. But think about that. We give from early on, we give our child a picture of our heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, our heavenly Father, he cares. I know he does. He cares for us. He cries over us. Well, I think it gives a picture in Lazarus that Jesus wept when Lazarus, and you know, I don't know what all was happening there in that tradition, but when Jesus was sad, he wept, it says. I know it was sincere. But if we as dads are supposed to be that type of God or Christ or a father figure to our children, we need to read the word and we need to understand love. Again, I'm always amazed, and if forgive me if I go on a rabbit trail here, but no, this is not a rabbit trail, but love. If you read the love chapter, Corinthians 13, at the end it says, and the greatest of these is love.
Oh, yeah.
And what's always amazed me is the very first thing that we're willing to forsake or compromise is love. Mm-hmm. And we'll sometimes, I am tempted sometimes to forsake love just for a different opinion.
Yeah, I feel that. I think that's something I've been guilty of too.
Why are we so quick? The very most important thing. And then we go deeper with that, like churches. They want to be, everybody wants to be right. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be heard. And the very most important thing is love. And that's the first thing they forsake every time.
Right? Yes.
There is no quarrel if we are living in love. Like, we are loving one another. We're esteeming each other higher than ourselves. All those things. Those all have to be put aside to try to figure out if we should wear a belt versus suspenders.
Right.
You can't fight over something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And be practicing. It's like crazy to me. It's a very simple thought. But it's crazy to me that we're so quickly will forsake the most important thing. And it even says God is love. You know, God is love. That's what he is. So as back to the father thing again, that's the very first thing we need to learn how to love. And I'm on a journey and I'm learning that more and more each day. And what love looks like. Love can be very stern at times. Love, you know, it's not just a fluffy. There's three different words in the Greek, I think, for the English word love.
Yeah.
It's agape, phileo. I know agape is like the real father love. And phileo, I always remember that as it's a fleshly love.
Okay.
Like more of an attraction type love.
Yeah.
So you want, you know, and I tell my daughters this all the time, you want someone to love you for who you are.
Yeah.
Because we get old. It's just beauty, you know. Then that is fleeing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love what you're saying. This is something that I'm so passionate about. I feel like almost all issues stem from a lack of love, like issues in churches and stuff, is people putting their own agenda first rather than their love for other people. That's most of the reason why I left this Mennonite culture, this Anabaptist culture that I grew up in, is because I realized that there was no love there. But yet they're preaching love and they're touting love, but then they aren't loving. And it's God is love. You can't separate the two. So if there's no love, that means God is not there because God is love. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then there's also a Bible verse. I can maybe find the reference later, but it says those who live in love live in God, and those who do not live in love do not live in God. I think that should be kind of a sobering thing. It's like, if I'm not living in love, I'm not living in God.
It says,
and God is not living in me.
Those that love not know not God, because God is love.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to understand, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, in saying all this, there's a balance to all that. Love, and again, I'm not going to pretend I know all these things, but love is a very complete thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've talked about love doesn't allow someone that is mentally sick to just continue to live mentally sick. You know,
right.
Like we need to step up to the plate And I'm calling, you know, sexual abuse mentally mental illness.
It is a
sickness that I believe maybe there's men, maybe there's someone who listens to this and says, I need help, you know.
Right.
And we, you know, I think I might have said this before, but to judge, we're not judging anyone here. We are expressing what we understand from the Word of God. And we're learning from our experiences, and we're learning from the Word of God, ideally. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to express this in a way that we have a lot of sick people among us, and we can't just allow that to be covered up under the rug or sweeping under the rug.
Right. We have to take care of those people too, instead of putting all of our focus on the people who aren't dressing right, you know, and
don't
going after.
When you say that.
When I've seen this in so many of these Anabaptist churches, instead of going after the people that are actually sinning and actually like assaulting and abusing people, they're going after the girls that aren't like dressing right because they're the ones with the problem.
She did air quotes, by the way.
Yeah, dressing right, air quotes.
Think of that verse earlier that, you know, if we look at a woman to lust after her,
yeah,
we've committed adultery in her heart. What if we would hold ourselves more accountable to that?
Right. Yeah. So I guess that's my challenge for you guys this week, you know. Ask God to teach you how to love well. And you might be surprised at stuff in your life that starts changing, you know. But loving other people is so important. It's
and you know, that brings me to mind here, if I can find it, but I had that, I had a text here that is a little bit hard to imagine, but there would have been a time that I could have not shared this without totally going off the rails.
Yeah.
But by God's grace, I think I can. And so a little bit of like, this is how people believe in our community. And I know, you know, one thing I wanted to give the benefit of the doubt here is that there may be 50 men that would not support this, but they also just don't take a stand against it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Like how, what is that person? Like, we can't be neutral.
A marshmallow. Do you think? I'm kidding.
But Copy. Someone without a backbone. But I don't want to be too harsh with that. You know, sometimes people just, that's not their gift, and they feel like they don't want to get involved, and I can appreciate this. But when I got this person had kind of stalked our family. I don't know. Is there a word for social media stalking? What is that called?
Stalking.
Stalking.
So this person had created a fake account under a fake name. And I don't know where honesty comes in and all that. And even this phone number is a telemarketer would use this kind of number. It's a fake number, I guess. So fake. And somehow they're worried about my soul. So I'm trying to figure, I'm probably just a little bit sarcastic there, but if you talk about a messed up mind, that's what I call this. And, you know, when you get called by your full name, you know you're in bad trouble.
Yeah.
Immediate panic, for real.
Full name here, Benjamin Graber, you know, is how it's titled. So the listeners can understand this. My daughter got married, and there's wedding pictures on social media. And there's a picture of my wife holding hands with my new son-in-law. And I'm having the first daughter-father-daughter
thing. Yes, I love those.
And I, you know, there would have been a time that I would have felt like, no, you can't dance. But when I looked up dance in the Word of God, I find it 72 times. And if you have a different opinion on this, it's okay. I'm not judging you. I don't think you need to judge me. And I believe that you're welcome to have your opinions on it. If you'd prefer not to, that is okay as well. But I don't think you can say this. He says, this is unbelievable. Surely you know that this is a wrong road. Words cannot describe the sin and worldliness these photos portray. I can only imagine that this is the kind of garbage that you would find in a strip club. This looks absolutely satanic. And the word satanic is capitalized letters.
That's an awfully strong word
that
to throw in there.
Every time because you read that text earlier, and now like and I'm listening to it again, I'm still even more shocked.
Right?
It's an insane text message.
This is so far removed from anything the scriptures would pertain to a godly lifestyle, but rather the sin that God will judge on the judgment day. Please consider the path you are on. A lot of things. But
same.
Sharing the truth in love. You know, the one comment I made back is I said, convince me that you really care about my soul. Convince me that you need to make fake accounts, use fake phone numbers to talk to me. That like I, you know, in our previous podcast, I said the Church of Jesus Christ should be like the USA. And think about that, how people give their lives to get into the church, not climbing the walls to get out. We could probably all do better with that. Like, how are we representing the churches that we go to? Do they really think that I want to come back to this church? Or or what am I supposed to do when I reconsider? I'm not moved by this. There is no love. All I see there is judgment. And, you know, the one comment they made later on is they called it a debate in regards to nudity and sexual charged images.
Wow.
That people in these images are portraying. And I'm kind of at a loss for words to even realize or try to wrap my mind around this brain or how this thinks. And I wonder sometimes if people like that are trapped in lusting after women so badly that they're angry. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
Maybe they're crying out for help, and maybe I misunderstood it. But that's kind of what I'm seeing here. Like, if they're so angry at me because of the way I dress, what do they do when they go to Walmart in a public place? Right. Or a lot of these men work for women that are cultural American people that maybe aren't dressed to their standards. What do they do if they're in a home alone with a woman that is not their wife, and they're struggling with these thoughts, and they're so judgmental, and so, I guess, for me, I feel like that man is not safe outside of his four walls of his home.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, you're supposed to exercise self-control, and that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But, like, as men and women, you know, we're supposed to experience self-control. Practice self-control. And, like, he's not doing that. He's saying, I want women to dress in this like crazy getup that's so decent and modest, air quotes.
Strange pilgrims.
Yes.
He wants us to be strange pilgrims.
So then he doesn't have to practice self-control. He can just like see a woman that's dressed indecently, again, air quotes, and think whatever he wants to think. And it's her fault because she's the one who was dressed inappropriately.
I'm just bursting at the seams right now because I know of multiple of our victims that had dresses down to their ankles, and they looked like they were dressed in sackcloth and ashes, and these predators were sick enough to still molest and rape them. So I'm telling you, as men that hear this podcast, we need to wake up, and we need to repent of our wicked ways, because I think of the prophet Isaiah, how he always owned his people's faults in a way. Not in a way that he was condemned. You know, like earlier when you were sharing, Lizzie, I thought, I'm just sorry. You know what I'm saying? I want to say sorry for the people that won't say sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, can I do that and still not feel like, woe me, or I don't feel like I own that sin? But I'm just sorry. I'm so sorry that you had experienced that. It has put you at odds with everyone you love. And I wanted to ask you too, back to that question, is why people wait so long. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Why do you think that girls wait so long to tell?
Well, this is something that I've, you know, thought about myself. I don't know that I really knew why I didn't want to talk to them until I actually did. And then the response was like I knew that was going to be the response all along. But I don't know if I shared this when I shared my story, but so my mom basically said that, you know, I didn't want to share this before, but I think I will now. When I was 16, my mom she called me a slut. She would just walk around and call me a slut. She would say, there was my mom and the brother right above me. They both called me a slut. And it happened often enough that my 6-year-old brother at the time picked up on it. And so he would come behind me and he would say, Liz, you're nothing but a big fat slut. Whatever.
That is so horrifying.
So stuff like that. Also, after my parents found out about the first two, I think, they locked me down. I couldn't go out. If I did go out, I would have to sneak out of the house. Like, so there was a lot of, like, them making me feel like it was my fault.
Yes.
And then when I finally did, and then my mom, she called me that one night. I was with you and William, I think. It was me and you and William and Shares, I think, maybe.
Yes, I remember that.
She called me, and she said that, this is pretty a lot for me. I'm like, I'm shaking now just thinking about it. But there were a couple times James would come to my house, or James and Orf would come, and I'll be in my room, like, getting ready to go somewhere, whatever. I would be in my, you know, underwear and with shorts on or something, you know.
It's your room.
It's not inappropriate, right? James would come into my room, and he would just sit there. Sorry. And, like, watch me.
Oh, that is so gross.
I have him, like, once or twice. Remember Orf coming in once, and she got mad at me. She wouldn't talk to me for the rest of the weekend. Either way, so Orf told Mom about that situation. And So after I told them about the whole thing with James, Mom called me and she said, well, what do you think is going to happen when you like, try to seduct him like that? Like, you were trying to.
Oh, my goodness.
You were trying to.
And how old are you?
I was probably up 15, 16 at the time.
That's so horrifying. Your own mother.
She's like, and what about the times when you would sleep in their bed? You know?
Had that ever even actually happened?
No, it did.
Okay.
It did. What would happen was, this is when it all began, actually. So they would sleep in my room. And it was either I was going to have to sleep out in the living room on the couch. And I would have been fine with that, whatever. But so James would tell Orf, like, no, it's fine. She can sleep in here. Like, that's completely fine with me. Blah, blah, blah.
I wonder why.
Yeah. And that's kind of when it began. And so then that mom brought that back to me as well. That,
like, it was your fault that this creep.
Well, so that's, I just think, and another thing, and especially if you've grown up in a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Anabaptist, religious?
Yeah, in a religious setting. So, and I think I've covered this before, but reputation is so important. And you learn that from a young age. You learn that you don't.
More is caught than taught.
Yeah. So you don't, like, so even if I would have went to dad, nothing would have happened anyways.
Yeah.
And it would have been just a whole situation, but I wouldn't have gotten, like, it wouldn't have helped anything. So, and there's just a lack of, I don't know what the word is. I don't think it's a lack of, like, it's not that he didn't care, but he didn't care more about it than his reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So can I call this out? Like, in Romans, it says that we are supposed to be different by the renewing of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I just ask God to help us. We are not here to condemn Lizzie's parents, but this is the thinking. So if anybody has a question, why do they wait so long? We felt it necessary to expose some of this so people could understand. Our poor daughters don't feel trusted. They don't feel safe, and they feel alone because no one will listen. Everybody is so quick to go back to the Bible. You think, you know, people look at us and they think that we did leave the Anabaptist culture. And that is what it is. But the Word of God clearly teaches us over and over and over that us as men are supposed to have control of our, not only, it says we're supposed to take captive every thought that goes through our brain. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to control our eyes. We're supposed to have self-control. There are all these things that the Word of God is calling us. And we're willing to overlook all that and blame our sins on an innocent child. It is almost more than I can take. Like, I am calling us as Anabaptist people to repent in a loud, clear way. Like, don't do it because I say it, but hopefully you can understand the hurts and the wounds and the ignorance. Like, the perfect example of an idiot is someone that keeps doing the same thing, expecting different results. Let's quit being idiots. Let's not keep spending more than we're making and try to get out of debt. Let's not keep looking at what's not mine and thinking that we're going to have peace with God and think that we're going to be able to blame it on an innocent child in any way, shape, or form. I don't care any shape or form. We cannot lust after a woman and blame it on her. It will not work. You can kick and scream and holler all you want about how somebody's dressed, and it's not going to free you. You need to repent. And repent is to have a renewing of the mind. We need to have renewed minds, desperately calling all of us as men to have a renewed mind. We need to learn to think differently. this world has turned into a sexual culture, mm-hmm. and we dress different and think we're exempt from it, and we're not. We're, in fact, it is worse in the plain conservative churches. It's worse than it is in the world. And somebody explain that to me. If the conservative churches are supposed to be the thing and the only ones that are right, then why is it worse in their settings? Mm-hmm. Explain that to me. We can condemn and condemn and condemn all we want of what the world looks like and does, but it's worse. There's statistics that says study after study. A lot of these studies happen in Pennsylvania. We're not the first ones to acknowledge this. You know, we're just in our time in 2024. I feel that God has called us once again to just speak out mm-hmm. and to share our hearts, whether you like it or not, or maybe. I'm sorry, but I see it so brightly, like I can't be silent anymore.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, I can speak from personal experience here. Like, this is something I was telling you guys earlier, but you know, I grew up Mennonite wearing these cape dresses and these big ass skirts, and guys were around me were like so creepy, and they would just like stare at me across the room and just like really weird, creepy behavior. And I have not experienced that since I left the Mennonites and I started dressing differently. It's not even like a thing anymore. So, I mean, in my personal experience, that's the sexual, I don't know what, depravity, I don't know what you call it, is so much worse in these yeah. Mennonite circles.
And it circles back to that thing I said about me being a roofer. And I'm sorry if that sounds too simple to people, but I think typically we like things more complicated for some reason. It's the fleshly thing. I don't know. But you listen to some of these evangelists and they make it so complicated to be a Christian that mm-hmm. it's just about no hope. You know, I love helping people, and I'm helping some people right now that were raised in a total different way. And if I try to complicate the word of God and make them feel like they can't have salvation just like me, then I become a curse to them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in the building that we're sitting in right now, there's a homeless man. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. There's a homeless man living over on the other side. And he has permission to live here by a dear brother, you know. Mm-hmm. He's not making that man feel like he has to attain to something or be a certain way before he's loved. He's yeah. loving him right now, right where he's at.
That's amazing.
And it's awesome. That's what that's
God's love.
That's the word of God. Or if you take love and you try to dissect it, I think the word dissect is correctly, and they do that in like science classes where they'll take a frog and they'll cut him apart to see yeah. what makes him jump. And, you know, they don't have to cut apart very far before it loses its jump. Mm-hmm. And so love kind of loses its power if you try to make it into all these things. It loses its power. If you try to dissect love, you will lose what it really is very quickly. Like I've heard it said, you know, the very first cut on that frog, it loses its jump. Mm-hmm. And again, yes. a very simple concept. But if we try to separate and dissect things, and I think sometimes people with a strategic mind have a harder time to have faith than someone that's, you know, a little bit more on the gullible side. We shouldn't be too much of either one. Pray for a perfect balance. But anyway, at some point I wanted to get into, or maybe you have more to say about this before we jump ship here, but or talk more about like the abuse my daughters went through mm-hmm. and why we reported it and how many different times it happened and all that. To try yeah. to connect some dots here for people.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love for you to talk more about that.
I don't want to abuse this opportunity because I feel like if we're on a pulpit preaching, we can abuse that by we don't give the people out in the crowd don't get a chance to ask questions or to say anything back.
Yeah.
So in this sense, it's a little bit the same. So I want to be conscious of that. Like, we do yeah. welcome feedback. We do welcome you to judge us. We do welcome you to take the word of God. And, you know, before we go into, we talked a little bit about dancing, but, you know, God's word on that text that I read earlier, God's word has it in there 72 times about dancing. And he gives the New Testament story of the older son versus the younger son that the younger son left and he took his inheritance and he squandered it away. Mm-hmm. And he was so hungry that he would have ate the husk from the corn that that's fed to the pigs. And, you know, that's depravity or how do you say that word? Depravity or that man, that we can get so deprived from the love of God that we will do things and say things and act in ways that are so bad. So I don't know what all that means. You know, when he was willing to accept the husk, he was willing to settle for way less than what his father ever wanted him to. Mm-hmm. I love that story because I'll try to keep it short here, but the younger son, he made up in his mind what he wanted to tell his son, or his dad, I'm sorry. When he meets his dad again, this is what I'm going to tell my dad. And one of the things that he was going to tell his dad is he said, just make me one of your servants. Yeah. And you know, when he met his dad, he never got that said. The love of the father was so great that he hugged him and he kissed him and he put a robe on him and he threw a party. And there was dancing and there was music. And the older son does what a lot of us would probably do. But he became jealous and he became religious, I think, is maybe the right word. And he was like, how dare my dad throw a party for that loser of a brother of mine? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and think about that. Isn't that, if you look back through history, how Jesus hated religion, and he says this story, and I think it's John 15, so we can understand. This is the Father's heart. This is the heart of the Father. And he never got that said that he would just make me a servant.
Right.
He put that son right back in his rightful position. It's just awesome. And he did some really bad things. Whether you're the predator, and maybe it feels like we're hating on the predators here a little bit, we actually are not. And we actually just want honesty, and we want repentance, and we want to all be made whole. When the predators refuse to acknowledge and refuse to say apologize, and that takes me on to these things. But my oldest daughter, you know, one night my nephews come up to go hunting. And my older daughter was attacked by one of these young men. And she screamed and hollered. And if you know her very well, he found out very quickly that you don't mess with her.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm so thankful for that.
Right.
However, there was like he had a grasp on her and he was like on top of her. And I'm sorry if this offends anyone, but this is the truth. And I feel like I need to speak the truth because earlier what I was saying is I don't want to abuse this opportunity, but it also gives me the opportunity to share things that I've never been able to share with anyone before. Right. And she got away without too much abuse happening. And it was just an awful night. Right. Here I am as a dad trying to figure out, what do I do now? Like I don't know how this happens, but I felt embarrassed that this happened. And I thought, and for years, I carried that embarrassment and that shame. Mm-hmm. And so, Lizzie, I can only imagine what you feel like sometimes. But I, as a dad, felt that too. Wow. Like, it brought shame to my family. And I didn't know how to deal with it. And now, praise God, fast forward 25 years later, I'm like, those men are not going to make me feel ashamed anymore. Yeah. You know, praise the Lord. So we've been accused over and over and over that we don't forgive and that we don't, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we went through a whole thing with them coming to my house and my brother. I mean, everybody hated it. I don't want to infuriate anyone here. What we didn't know until, I'm going to say 5 years later, is he was majorly abusing another one of my daughters. At the same time, he's sitting at our couch saying sorry for what he did to the oldest daughter. So he is
sexually
abusing another daughter that was really bad. And to the point where she dropped out of school, she was sicker. Like we did CAT scans and MRIs and all kinds of things to try to figure out what's wrong with her. She just laid in her bed with a bad tummy ache. Like her belly just hurt. It was like nerves. And finally, another girl that had been abused, her husband called me from, I want to say, North Dakota. This brother called me and said, Ben, he named two other people that know about this that were adults that should have said something and didn't.
Oh, wow.
But he stepped up. Again, he was out of the community. He didn't have a reputation to protect. He just said, Ben, you need to know this.
And yeah.
You know, earlier you asked how I felt. I don't even know how to put that into words.
I believe
anger and, of course, quickly quickly latched onto the words of loving your enemy, you know? And,
right.
And, but I find out now that I didn't love my enemies with the right kind of love. Like I wanted to love them in a way that just kind of got this behind us as quick as possible. I didn't realize the damage it was causing to my daughters. I didn't realize so much. Believe nothing I say except this. If you have something like this happening, educate yourself. Just go educate yourself. I don't care where you get educated, but it should be from, I do care, Ashley. It should be from a reliable source that doesn't have a religious. Educate yourself outside of the culture that you're in.
Yeah.
Just be open-minded. No, you have discernment. God gives discernment. So that was the second. The first scenario is he's sitting there. He's apologizing. All while he's abusing my second daughter. I didn't know it. 5 years later, I find out. So here's another explosion. And then it seems like maybe my brother's family didn't do this intentionally. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But people automatically assumed that we're still not forgiving for the first time this happened. Mm-hmm. And so like we become these unforgiving people. And I'm like, no, this is another daughter of mine. This happened again. This is not unforgiveness from the first time. This boy is sick again. It falls on deaf ears. We figure out a way to try to make everybody happy. And we have meeting upon meeting. And we take this. And the reason I use the word we is I allowed it to happen. I allowed this group of people to interrogate my daughter to try to figure out who's telling the truth. And probably one of the ugliest things I've ever experienced in my entire life. The 50 years, I'm not that old, but in my 50 years, it's the ugliest thing I've ever experienced to see that happen. And I can't even put it into words, and I'm not even going to try. But that was the second time. To find out what I know now, there was a girl in Davis County that was being molested as well at this same time that I could have possibly avoided if I would have done the right thing. That I'm encouraging us as dads to not allow these things to continue on. They don't get better. And then a couple years later, I find out that, you know, he's finally getting married and everybody's like, oh, maybe this need him. Well, I'm telling you that marriage does not fix sexual perversion.
Yeah, for sure.
It just enhances it. But anyway, they were not married. The girl that he was dating and engaged to was the type of girl that if you touched her inappropriately, the relationship was going to be over. And I commend them for that. And so he didn't. That I'm pretty sure he realized that if he wants her. But at the time that he's engaged to get married, he cheats on her with another married woman.
Oh, wow.
And they were both adults. So this time, you know, we can't say it's a criminal charge. But it is a criminal charge in God's eyes.
Right.
It's also like it speaks to his character a lot.
Character and also his sickness. And I love the guy. Like, I wish he could get help. But I know one thing for sure, that as long as there's denial, there's not going to be repentance.
Yeah.
Because as we read Psalm 51, David became very honest.
Right.
It is the very first step. We have to become very honest.
Right. Absolutely.
And that is just like the tip of the iceberg of the things that took place. There was a while that I felt condemned as a dad that these things were happening to my daughters. So my fourth daughter, I found out later, like she was following some of these same characters of being quiet, sitting in a room, not talking about, not engaging with the rest of the family, all these things. And here I find out that she was being molested by the brother, which also molested Lizzie. And I still can't believe I gave him the benefit of the doubt. But when I found out about this, it had been, again, why do they wait so long, you know? She witnessed everything that took place before and nothing happened. So why would she tell dad? Because nothing happened. I sat here saying this shamefully that I kind of went down the same path. I met this young man at a restaurant, which is not the place to do it. And I brought this up to him and I felt like he was married and had a couple of children. And I just wanted to see. And he fooled me into thinking that he was sorry and that he acknowledged it. And he said he told his wife about it. At that point, I knew nothing about Lizzie's story. Here he was also involved with that horrible way. And he's a con artist, is what I'd call him.
Yeah.
And I say that kindly, but I don't know how else to explain it. But he made me, he convinced me that he is very repentant. He said, I knew better. And I was over 18 when some of it happened. He was underage when it started. He was over 18 when it ended. And it didn't end until he got a girlfriend that was supposed to fix that problem. And again, previous to that, there was a girl that he abused, and she's on social media, and she tells her story without mentioning any names of somebody, you know, like, I feel bad to expose too much here, but I know so many offenses that these guys could get locked up for years and years and years. And I don't know today yet what this all will end up as, but I know that I'm not willing to hide anything and cover up the truth anymore. Like, these things have happened so many times. And like this girl that was engaged to the older nephew, she came to us and said, you knew these things and didn't warn me. And I was not warning her to try to keep peace with my brothers and sisters and my dad. And I was willing to allow her to go in one of the most miserable types of relationships there ever was on the face of the earth, so I could have peace with my parents and my brother and sisters. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, isn't that the most selfish thing I could ever do?
Yeah.
I'm willing to just allow you to go into a miserable, most miserable thing. I mean, I can't quite imagine being caught married to a man that is unfaithful in that way.
Right. But don't you think his wife was like 16? Was she with him?
Yeah. So that was another. Yeah. But she's not the girl I was talking about that was engaged to him. You know, that engagement broke off.
Way that she even, well, my sister is married to someone who has, you know, but I don't understand how they with a like peace in their heart can sit there, support them, you know. I don't understand it. Right. But I do think that his wife is also a victim.
Absolutely.
His wife is a victim. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe that she has been groomed. And I know what that feels like. And I know they can convince you that they love you and that you love them.
Right.
And it's like, and if you're conditioned in the right way, you're going to genuinely think that you love them. And you're going to go to lengths to protect them. I know exactly what that feels like. I just came out of that. So I feel so bad. It breaks my heart.
Both of these men are now married with, I think, each 3 children.
No, Orf. James, are we talking about? James and Orf have 4. No, I think. Do they? She's pregnant again.
But they're both married. They have families. Both of them have stepped outside of the marriage. I can't comprehend that. Like,
right.
I have not been the perfect husband, but I have never, ever even came close to something like that. Right. Like, I can't quite imagine how these women are okay with this. Like, there's a lot of manipulation going on.
Oh,
but
yeah. Okay.
I have proof that there has been texts sent out of, hey, my wife is out of town. And I'm talking about to other women that are willing to come over and lay with them. They're texting people. They're texting, while the wife is out of town, they're texting these not so great individuals possibly, however that may be. And these women are having sex with them, knowing they're married. It's just awful. Where does this all end? I'm concerned for their own children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you, I don't know if Katrina told you this, but Chris Allen texted me after, what, it was after I was 16. But he texted me, well, his wife was in Illinois, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She was away. And he was like, I and you know what's so funny? So he was saying all of these inappropriate things. And I was like, hey, you know what? Like, you have a wife and a kid at home. Like, you need to realize what you have there and give all of this other stuff up. Like, obviously I didn't say I was still in that mindset that,
yeah,
like, maybe, like, I cared for him or whatever.
Yeah.
But I knew that it was wrong. And the second that he seen that he didn't have me under his control anymore, he deleted all of his chats and blocked me.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, so I now I don't have any proof that
trying to cover his tracks.
But Orpha did tell me. So Orpha talked to his wife. I don't even know if I should mention her name.
No.
Orpha tried to talk to his wife. Or she did. Because Orpha, like, she used to defend me so much with the whole Chris Allen thing. Like, she texted him, was mad about it, like, blah, 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 wouldn't even let me around him, whatever. Oh, she talked to his wife about it. And his wife is like, yeah, I'm not surprised. She's like,
oh, wow.
She's like, he does it all the time.
That's wild. Yeah.
So
So there's a lot of brokenness, and I would like to end this with a positive note about brokenness, and we're all broken.
Absolutely. And
I have this clay pot, like if we could just picture this, and hopefully we're not going over our time.
We've only been talking an hour.
But only an hour. I have this clay pot, so picture this with me, okay? And it's about a 2 gallon size. And actually, to give credit where credit's due, I don't know where, it's actually an uncle, Amos Raber, shared this message. And I copied it a little bit, but I did it for my children and the congregation I was part of at that time. But if you want to see it done right, Amos did a really good job. He's gifted in that area. But look up, it's one of the only video, a lot of his preaching is just on audio. And this is actually video, but he takes a 2 gallon clay pot and he lets it fall and it breaks into like 100 pieces. And what I liked about the experiment when I did it is half of that pot didn't break, but the other half did.
Yeah.
And then I glued it all back together. And I put a light inside of it. And it felt very vulnerable or very, like, you shared some things here, Lizzie. I really admire you for that. You're being very vulnerable. And people can think a lot of, you're giving them an opportunity to think a lot of bad things. And I, you know, again, in the name of Jesus, I pray healing over you. Because I want you to be protected by our Heavenly Father more than anything you'd ever know. But brokenness, when there's a piece missing in that pot, there was those big pieces missing. You know how beautiful that was when you put a light inside?
Oh, wow.
And the side that was all religious, and I'm sorry to be hard on religion. I think Jesus was. I think John the Baptist was. And I think that gives me the license to be hard on religion. And so, like it or not, it's where I'm at. But the side that was all whole, what we think is whole, was ugly before God. The side that we looked at and thought, that is so broke up. You know, I could just say, if I could just say this without being real about it, is Lizzie, you're so broke up. But it gives the gospel, the light of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ to shine. If you were whole, if we are whole, Jesus can't do anything for us if we're whole. Yeah. And again, to the predators, I'm pleading. When you're trying to pull that cloak around you and hang on for dear life and cover things up, you can't be made whole. You know, and I love that story of how the wind said he's more powerful than the sun. And he's talking to the bright sunshine. But it's a parallel of Jesus, the sun. And the wind blew and blew and blew. Like sin blows and blows and blows. And the world blows and blows and blows. And that man just hung on to that cloak of religion tighter and tighter and tighter. But when the Son of God shines his light, it wasn't very long until that man became warm. And he took his coat off willingly. He took it off.
That's beautiful.
He became vulnerable. Take our coats off. And like, okay, we are not perfect. But God, through the sending his son, Jesus Christ, made us whole. Mm-hmm. He made us whole. You know, and I look at the brokenness. And I look at where Jesus' lineage came from.
Right.
I think there was like 50 different lineages, 50 different generations that Christ came to us on earth. If you look at some of those lineages, some of those people, Rahab the harlot, yeah. David and Bathsheba.
Yeah.
David had, I don't know how many other wives that Christ could have came through.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that he came through sin. What that means to me is that's how complete God heals us. He heals us so completely that he's willing to put our name in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I mean, he healed David, Bathsheba. David came to him. And David had a special faith because he's one of the only Old Testament people that ate shoe bread before he was supposed to. And he did a lot of things. But God said, David is a man after my own heart. So whatever David had, let's go after that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find that because that's special, you know. And the brokenness, if you study the lineages of Jesus, it is just phenomenal. Some of the things that happened seem embarrassing. I mean, I don't know if I can come up with the names, but the story about where this daughter-in-law, she felt the calling on her life that she was supposed to have a child that was supposed to be the lineage of Christ. And maybe it'll come to me here, but I don't want to botch it up too bad. But she dressed as a harlot and tricked her father-in-law into laying with her. Who am I talking about?
Tamar. Judah. Yeah. I'll look it up for you.
That's the lineage of Christ. I can't quite wrap my mind around it, but one thing it does for me is it gives me a great reserve to cast judgment and to just condemn someone to hell, or like that text said, call it satanic. You know, and later in that text, I couldn't find it, but the guy says, it's obvious that you are serving a different God than me. And I thought, right at first, I thought I didn't want to own that. And later I thought, no, that's actually okay. Like, I think we are.
Yeah.
Like, you serve the God of religion. If you listen to this podcast, you know who you are. But I'm not there anymore. Like, like God delivered me from the spirit of religion. And I just want to be honest and transparent. And I want to thank people that have allowed me to be who I am. And the people that do love me, even though I feel very broken at times.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
God bless
my intention for any of this is not to just make people hate me, even though I believe that'll come, because when you step on the devil's toes, he gets a little bit angry and he doesn't care.
He might send some people after you.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yep. In it, after our last podcast, I had it happen.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue. It's the weirdest thing. And so it's a spiritual warfare that we're in.
For sure.
We're all on a journey. Brokenness is not a bad thing. And in fact, it's the only way that we can receive the love of Christ.
Yes.
And at Psalm 51, he said, you know, I like the King James Version because how I learned it. He said, a broken and contrite heart, O God, will never despise. Or I think the meaning there is, mm-hmm. I will not reject a broken and contrite heart.
That's beautiful.
So to be broken, to be missing pieces out of the side of that flower pot,
mm-hmm.
and letting the light of Christ shine through that is very exciting.
Yeah. Dude, I love that analogy so much of the flower pot with the light shining through. Like, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
But yeah, I don't think I have a lot more to say. I feel like I just want to thank anyone that listens to this to just give it serious consideration. And
mm-hmm.
thank Lizzie for, you was pretty vulnerable. Thank you.
Well, and it's hard for me because, I mean, it's hard for like all of us up here, because that's like every episode we all have to be vulnerable at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like, I think it's especially hard for me because everyone in this room right now knows that I love my family more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
And I know that whenever, like, I knew when I made this podcast and the way and how vicious people are, like, they're going to listen to this podcast. They're going to talk about mom and dad, talk about they were terrible parents. And they haven't done everything right. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying I love them.
Yeah.
I'm saying I had growing up, like maybe there were terrible things happened. Maybe not as much my mom, but I always knew that my dad loved me. He didn't know how to show it. That's the thing. That's it, like they're not being taught. They're being conditioned to love a certain way. They've never been taught another way.
Mm-hmm.
And also they're not taught to. They're taught that, you know, this is the way to do it. And you don't open your mind. Being open-minded is almost like a sin to them.
Yeah. No, literally.
So
yeah,
they don't really know what else to do. So there was a lot of stuff today I didn't want to say before. But I think after you have been told so many times, like, just like even try to look at it this way. Just, you don't have to believe this way. Try to look at it this way. And after they don't, like I wrote them a letter.
Yes.
Oh, I wrote them a letter.
That letter was heartbreaking.
I begged them to just for 1 second see it my way. I didn't get a response.
Yeah.
And I believe that whenever I agreed to do this podcast with you, I also agreed to become vulnerable to stuff like this. So even I don't mean to hurt my family, that's not. And I think that there's a lot of people who think that I'm doing this to get revenge or to spite them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not why I'm doing it. I want them to be free of this. Like,
yes.
I want them to know what it's like to just love fully and just not be concerned about judgment. And like,
right. And to be loved fully.
And I want that relationship back badly. I do. I think that that's probably not a really viable option right now or anytime soon. But yeah, basically my point is I'm not trying to hurt anyone. I'm simply speaking the truth. I'm saying what I experienced. It's not even really that, like, when I say these things, it doesn't even seem that personal to me. It's just like, hey, this happened. Like, I'm not bitter about it anymore. It did affect me. It affected me, but I'm not bitter about it anymore. And so I just hope you listen to this and you're not going to go like talk behind Bertha's back at church, because that won't do for me. I might come find you, you know. Anyway, so that's all I have to say.
Really. I love that. I have some, that was beautiful. And I have some stuff to say down those lines too. Is the whole reason that I want to do this podcast is not because I love talking in front of people. It's not because I'm like this really wise person that has a lot to say. It's God called me to do it. Yeah. And I'm doing it because I love people.
Yeah.
And I want people to experience the love and the freedom that I've experienced since leaving. I mean, they don't have to do that by leaving, but I'm doing this because I love people so much and I want to help people.
And it's not because of like hate or spite. It's because of love.
Yeah, yes. So, I would commend both of you for that. And I like the way, you know, you guys just say things and do things like in, I want to say, everyday language. And I like that. Like, you're not sugarcoating or you're not playing this super spiritual thing. You know, I always appreciate it when preachers, when they preach, that they're like, hey, I'm vulnerable in this as well. Or, you know, like, I heard a preacher one time, he preached about how we need to get up in the morning and we need to take our wives on walks. And he made it sound like they had this, him and his wife had a prayer walk every morning. Come to find out, their marriage was so tense and so, but he painted this picture in front of church that sounded so good. Right. And I knew another guy that was a farmer, and he would say these stories, how he was laying out in the pasture. He went out to get the cows and God just struck him down, and like he just laid there in the pasture looking up at the stars at 4 a.m. It just made it sound like he was the holiest man ever. And he recanted on his faith.
Oh, wow.
He was a born-again believer seeking truth with all his heart. And all of a sudden, he went back and he recanted. Wow. And it reminds me of some of those stories of our early forefathers, how they came out and all of a sudden they saw the persecution. And they went back.
Mm-hmm.
And so not everything we say is always accurate. But I love the way you ladies just are just real. And just.
Thank you.
Just, you know, like you're not trying to be somebody you're not. And I just want to commend you for that. And we live in a time of technology that you can research. Like we've different times here today looked up Bible verses and stuff.
Yeah.
There is no excuse for us to be ignorant today. Mm-hmm. Don't be ignorant. Don't keep doing the same things, expecting different results.
Yeah.
We have technology. You know, don't go around trying to make up a message of why we shouldn't dance and why we can't play a guitar at church and do these things when you can just look up these verses in the Bible. And a tambourine is kind of like maybe what you call a drum today. And I hear so many people preach that, okay, some people say no musical instruments. Some people say you can have everything but a drum. It's not scriptural.
Yeah.
You know, in different ways here, he says God uses these verses of how he's going to dance for us. He's going there, and he talks about stringed instruments. Mm-hmm. Let's educate ourselves not to be proud and arrogant, but so we can bring honor and glory to God.
Yeah. Right.
And not, I'm ashamed of how many times I was hard on people. And I was uneducated and didn't know what I was talking about. I simply didn't know what I was talking about. I should have been quiet and I should have been listening. And I was running my mouth when I didn't know what I was talking about.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Happens to me every day.
Yep. Best thing you can do.
I'm trying to learn from my mistakes.
That's all you can do.
You know, and tomorrow is another day, Lord willing, and we learn again.
Yeah.
And we're on a journey. We are like a river. We're going downstream, and one day we die and we get to experience the glory of heaven.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Let's have that more in our forefront. Like it's not, the pleasures of this world are fleeting.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, it's very unfortunate that the whole sexualization of everything has become such a misused, made look like glorious, glamorous thing. When it can be a beautiful thing in a marriage between a man and a woman. But outside of that, it is like living hell on earth. Mm-hmm. Outside of marriage, what God created to be so beautiful becomes so destructive. And that could be another whole story.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I wanted to tell you guys, I don't know if I'll leave this in, but I wanted to tell you guys about this like moment that I had a couple years ago. I've known the last couple years that something that I really want to do is like help people, girls like me that grew up, you know, just being very abused and oppressed, and help them leave. And, you know, I've definitely felt some bitterness towards the religion that I left. Because it's like, you know, there was a lot of things about it that really damaged me and that I've had to work through. And so it's easy. Like, I was a little angry. I was a little bitter. And, like, I admit that. And I don't think I am anymore. But I was struggling with it because I was like, God, I can't reach the people that are still in this if I'm bitter and angry at them. Yes. And I was like, God, you have to help me. Like,
amen.
Put some love in my heart for these people. But anyway, so one day, I was working, I was all by myself, and I was just working, and I was listening to the Bible, and I was praying, and I was listening, actually I don't remember if I was listening to it, but I was thinking the story of the 10 virgins came to mind, where, you know, there was these 10 bridesmaids, and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, and while they're waiting, their lamps go out, and 5 of them had oil, had brought oil for their lamps, and they were prepared, but 5 had not. And then the bridegroom comes and they're all excited and they're like, okay, we got to go. And so the 5 that have the oil for their lamps, they keep their lamps lit, they go. But then the other 5 are running around looking for the oil for their lamps. They go to the bridegroom and they get there and the doors are shut and they're like, hey, let us in or whatever. And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. And I feel like God just brought that story to my mind. And all of a sudden I just experienced just this intense, just like pain, like emotional, but just like so much, like my heart felt like it was breaking in half for like just a second. And it was just so intense. And then I felt God telling me, he said, that's what I feel, because there's people, maybe even some of the people that you grew up with, that they're going to be in front of God. And I'm going to have to say, I don't know you. And he's like, that pain that you just felt, he's like, that's what I feel every day, because there's people that think they know me and they don't. And he's like, you have to help them. And that just, I mean, that changed my whole perspective. And there's still moments when I get a little bitter, but I think about that and I'm like, oh, wow. People are hurting. And they're hurting other people because they're hurting so much.
Yeah, there's people everywhere, everywhere looking to see the love of God, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit like, I feel really excited about a lot of this. And I also feel the responsibility again as a father, grandpa, you know, all that. Like, this podcast might be the only Bible some people read. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is the gospel, but I hope you know, and I beg for you listeners to not take, if we say something on here that you don't understand or don't make sense, don't go make a big old gossip story about it. Reach out to us. And I believe is a way for them to do that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. We have our Instagram DMs are wide open.
So there's no reason for you to go to anyone, but to the editors here to understand more, and we'll receive, I want to say by God's grace, we'll receive a rebuke if that's what we
have. Yeah. If I'm saying something that's wrong and that's not according to scripture, I want to know.
But yeah, let's have an open debate. It shouldn't be one-sided.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to hear from all the people, you know. Is there anything else that we wanted to like talk about and cover, or should we kind of close it out and save stuff for next time?
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm good with that.
Do you want to pray for the people?
Dear Lord, we come before you this morning, just humble hearts. We just pray that you would watch after us today, be there with us. Just bless Ben for coming onto the podcast. Bless him for being open and vulnerable and just sharing your word in the best way that he knows how. And just bless him for trying to help these fathers see where they're going wrong. And I just pray for our listeners today, pray that what we said may have touched one of their hearts, and pray that they would feel confidence to reach out to us and just not be afraid to just talk to somebody if they need that. Just thank you for all that you're doing for all of us, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
I think of that psalm, a father doesn't just love their children every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he loves without end.